This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
And then the Tosfos and Bava Kamma. And then you should have it clear. The shaila was, what head does a two-headed monster put on tefillin? So he said to him, either go to Golus or be in Chedin. As this was happening, a man came in and said, I've just had a two-headed baby. How much do I have to pay the Kohen? What is the din of pidyon as far as this baby is concerned? Atuhal sabu tanole, and it was an old man who came and learned the following halacha. Chayev litin leyutzli, he has to pay him 10 sloy, 5 sloyim for each head. Ask the Gemara, eini, is that indeed so? Maybe he shouldn't have to pay him anything at all. Why? Va'atani Rami Bachama, did Rami Bachama not learn? Since it says "podoytif des bechor ha'odom," shomea ani afilu nitraf betoich lamed, I might think from the extra word "podoy." It doesn't say "tif des bechor ha'odom," it says "podoytif de." There's an extra "podoy" from that extra word of "podoy" that comes to teach us that there's a case which would normally not have required pidyon, now might require pidyon. What is that case? The case of nitraf, and I might think therefore that in the case of nitraf betoich lamed, if the baby becomes a nitraf during the 30 days, that pidyon does apply. Talmud leimer ach. The word ach is a limiting word. Ach means bat, which limits. Ach chilek, ach comes to distinguish that a nitraf does not have to have pidyon at all. Even though I would have thought from podo tifte that a nitraf has to have pidyon, ach comes to teach me that he doesn't have to have pidyon. So if a nitraf doesn't have to have pidyon, why does this baby have to have pidyon? This baby with the two heads have to have pidyon. How does Rashi define nitraf? As ne'erag. So comes the question, if nitraf means ne'erag, what is the comparison with this baby? Is this two-headed monster going to live until 30 days?
Yeah.
Yes, otherwise there wouldn't be a shaila. So what's the other bit? If nitraf means ne'erag, what is the comparison between the case of the two-headed monster and the case of Rami Bar Chama? Let's look at the Rashi inside. Eser Sloim, says Rashi. Why do you have to give Eser Sloim the Chad Bechoirhu? Because this is one Bechoir, the baby is a Bechoir. The Isle Trei Reishi, and it has two heads. The Choshiv Kitrein, and therefore it's considered like two. It's one Bechor, halachically treated as two. It's important to make it the one Bechor, because if it isn't one Bechor, then there would only be five Sloim. If it was two Bechoris, then they wouldn't both be Bechoris. If there were two Bechoris, then there would only be one, because two babies can't be born simultaneously, naturally. But since we treat this as one Bechor, however, treated halachically as two, but biologically as one, therefore we have to give 10 sloy, because both heads belong to a Bechor. I asks Rashi, if a woman has twins and we don't know which one was the Bechor, she has identical twins and afterwards there's confusion, no one knows exactly who was the Bechor, then the din is that we give 5 sloy. How does it work in the hospitals with identical twins? How do they? What do? Do they put on identity things immediately? How do they identify the Bechor? As the first one is born, they put the first one and they say, this was the first one. Yeah, but they just put the name of the parent and the date and the time, more or less. How do they? What do they do here? Do they put baby one and baby two them?
They put the birth time as well.
Is it a doctor?
No, they put the birth time.
Henry is not
the time.
They put the time on.
No, yeah,
and from that they can see the difference.
Yeah,
sorry?
I've never seen it before.
You've never seen a twin being born? Because for them it's not that critical which one is first.
No.
There's no nafkimina except in halacha. But in halacha there's a big nafkimina. There'll be a lot of money involved. So there, in a case where twins are born and they don't know which one is the bechor, you only give five sloyim. There it is because we cannot determine exactly which one it was, but they couldn't both have been born bechoris. But here it's one baby, and we know that that one baby came out as one. The two heads came together, and both heads are considered peterechem. This is Rami Bar Chama. I might think from Podoitif there's Bechor Odom that even Nitraf. What does Nitraf mean? Says Rashi, Neherag B'Toich Lamed Yoim, Nami Chayev. I might have thought that even if the baby was killed during 30 days, he would also be chayev. The afal gav dichtivu fuduyiv mi ben chodesh tifter. I asked Rashi, but it says that the time of pidyon is 30 days, and this baby, the neherag, will not be around in 30 days. Afilu hochi hocha ikel neimerim loy neherag havi chay. Lamed, I might say that the neherag, the fact that he was killed, is an extraneous circumstance. The fact is, he would have lived until 30 days, and the only reason for the 30 days, according to Rashi, is to establish viability. The fact that he was killed is no contradiction to its viability. And therefore I might have thought that it's the Chiyuv Pidyon would apply uvechor ma'alyu, who is a proper bechor. So Ach comes to teach me. Ach chilek, Ach podoitifteh. Ach podoitifteh, full stop. Now Rashi is going to have to deal with the question of why, what is the comparison between our case of Neherag and the case of the two-headed monster. V'hai nami kenitraf dami. Now how are we going to learn this? This also, this baby, this two-headed baby, is like a nitraf, which means like a Neherag. Why? Sheharei lo yichye, because he will not live. He will not live till when?
More than 7 days.
Oh, he won't live longer than 30 days. He'll live up to 30 days, but not longer. So he's like a Neherag. Why is he like a Neherag? No baby is going to live eternally. Every baby is going to die sometime after his Pidyon HaBen. So what does Rashi mean by Pashtus? That he's going to die within 12 months. And so he has an imperfection now, which is going to cause his death within 12 months, and therefore it's as if he's an error, it's as if he's killed already.
Where do we get that feel of 12 months?
It's from the dinim of trefa. That's like with animals as well, the same thing. If a person has a disease which is going to kill him within 12 months, then he's considered an error already from the beginning.
And we
insert him down to the levels of pigeon abeen. Yes. Rahai nami since he's not going to live from this, he has an imperfection which is going to cause his death within 12 months. He has the din of a neherag. It's as if he's killed already.
Is there any other halachic ramification for a person with such a disease? Any question?
Yes, if you kill him, if somebody kills him, they're not chayav misa.
That doesn't apply. You have cases of trefa. Euthanasia is a classic case.
Now, if the person is a trefa, then the doctor who practices the euthanasia will not be chayav misa. We won't be chayav misa. If the person is a proper trefa, not just that he's going to die soon, but he has one of the trefas listed in Shulchan Aruch. Answers the Gemara, back into the Gemara, Shani Hocho. No, there is a distinction between the case of the two-headed monster and this case of Rami Bar Chana. What is the difference? The Begugoyl is Talorachmone. Because in the case of Pidyon HaBein, the halachas are dependent on the number of heads, And therefore, even though this baby has two heads, there has to be a pidyon haben. Says, explains Rashi, the pidyon bechor is dependent on the heads. As it says, chomesh shkolim legulgulis. You pay 10 shkolim per head. It doesn't say per baby, it says per head. It doesn't say per bechor, it says per head. V'hai is leitrei, and this baby, this one baby, has two heads, so it's 10 shkolim. V'im mishum achilek, I asks Rashi, what about ach? Didn't we just learn that ach comes to teach us that if he's a treifa, there is no pidyon? Isn't that what we just learned? But right now he's still alive. Right now meaning when? At the time of pidyon. After 30 days. At the time of pidyon he's still alive. And he's got two heads, so we're not worried about him being a treifa. So it would appear in Rashi that this gulgoyles, because what is the Gemara introduced? What concept is the Gemara introduced since the question? Based on the question, we wanted to say there is no chi of pidyon. Now we're saying because of the gulgoyles talarachmono, there is a chi of pidyon. He's going to die within 12 months, but he's alive now, and that's our difficulty in Rashi. What has changed? Before Rashi said that Hainami Kenitra of Dami, the fact that he's going to die within 12 months makes him as if he's dead already. And now Rashi says, no, because of Begulgulis Talarachmono, it's not as if he's dead already, because the fact is he's alive. What's the one going to do with the other? That's really the difficulty that we have in Rashi. Maybe we should run through the Tosfos now, and then I'll relearn Rashi the way that we want to answer Rashi.
Can you just establish the distinction between Nitraf and Nerag in Tosfos?
Let's do first the Tosfos in Bava Kamma, then we'll do the Tosfos, that part of the Tosfos in Menachos if we need to, and then we'll try and answer Rashi. Let's look at the Rashi in Bava Kamma firstly, see if there are any clues as to any difference in the way Rashi words it in Bava Kamma. Bechor she nitraf, says Rashi, bechor odom she neherag betoich lamed yom. What is a bechor she nitraf? It's a bechor odom which is killed in 30 days. Who's killed in 30 days, so that's consistent. Ein pedin oisei, there's no chiyuv pedin. Ein tzorich liftoisei. Ve'im meis me'atzmoi lo itzrich lan lameimer. If he dies naturally, then certainly there's no chiyuv. That I don't need any posuk for that. I don't need ach for that. Because it says that 30 days is the time, and if he's died before 30 days, there's no chiyuv pidyon. In that case, why do I need ach if he's killed within 30 days? Aval hashto itzrich lashminen deloy amrinen. But now I need a posuk in the case of neirag deloy amrinen to teach me that we do not say iloy iktil have a chay veloy nefel have, that were he not killed, he would have lived, and therefore he's not a miscarriage. Velifrakein, he should be nifti, should be podri. So that's Rashi consistent. Says Tosfos, "B'chol she'nitraf b'toich lamed yom, pirish hakuntrus she'neherag, uv'meis me'atzmoi lo itzrich kro lashmuinen de'in poedim de'oksiv uf'duyev mi'ben chedesh tifrei, aval neherag itzrich lashmuinen de'lo yaminen ilav de'iktil havichai v'lo yinefel havilifrikei." It's quoting Rashi. Mashmo k'tzas, there is a slight implication. The Kimlon Begave, that if we knew for sure the Koluloi Chodoshov, that his time, his pregnancy was perfect, the Chai, and this baby is a viable baby, Hoyochayev Lifdoisoi, there would be a Chiev to be Poide, the child, even if he were killed. The only reason that there isn't a chiyuv to be paid to him is because we don't know for sure that he was viable. Where's that mashma in Rashi? Because Rashi says, it comes to teach us deloy amrinan, that we do not say iloy iktil have a chay veloy nefel have, that if he weren't killed he would have been viable and not a nefel. We don't say that. So what do we say? Maybe he would have been a nefel, and that's why there's no pidyon. That's what ach comes to teach me. That's the mashmos, that's the diuk that Tosfos makes in the Loshon of Rashi. Because it's possible to say, no, that we don't say that the reason for the pidyon is the viability. It's possible that that's what Rashi means. So Tosfos is leaving that open. But there is a bit of an implication that Rashi is teaching us that the whole thing is a viability test. The kosher, the v'perik yesh b'chayir, omar gabi poide b'noi toich lamed yom, v'nisachlu ha'mois l'achazman. The case in b'chayir from which Tosfos asks his kasher is the case of a man who's going to be overseas at the time of the pidyon haben. So he gets hold of the kohen, gives him the money, does all the deeds, makes the kinyonim and says the brochas and everything, and he says, I want this kinyon to be chal and on such and such a day. As we can do with any kinyon, I can make a kinyon to sell my property and that the kinyon should be chal on a particular day in the future. So by pidyon as well, I can be poide and make it conditional on the chalos taking place on a particular day in the future. But what happened when that time had come, the kohen had spent the money. The din is ein benoi podu. The pidyon doesn't work. Ask Tosfos v'amai. Why should the pidyon not work, according to Rashi? After all, the matter has been revealed retrospectively to Lo Nefel, who that this child was at the time of the Kinyan not a Nefel, because he survived 30 days. And therefore, why don't we allow the Kinyan to be Chal then, not now? The whole reason for waiting the 30 days is because until 30 days we don't know that the baby is viable. But now that we do know that the baby is viable, let the kinyan take effect retrospectively at the time it was actually performed. Why not? What's the problem? According to Rashi, theoretically, you could do a pidyon haben on the 10th day. The only reason you don't is because we haven't established viability. But here, a kinyan was done on the 10th day, and we have established viability retrospectively. So let that kinyan work for then. Why should the baby not be podu?
The money was there rather than when.
The money was there at that time. Explains Tosfos, therefore, this is a gzeras hakosuv, this has got nothing to do with viability. The 30 days is a condition that has to be fulfilled. That the pidyon haben can only take effect on day 30, it cannot take effect before. Even if we know for sure that the pregnancy was perfect, there still has to be a 30-day wait. That's the first part of Tosfos. So Tosfos is chilek on the way he understands Rashi. He understands from Rashi that the purpose of the 30 days is to establish viability, and he's chilek. He says that's not the purpose of viability, that's not the purpose of the 30 days. The 30 days is there only as a gzeras hakosuv, and that's it. Is there any difficulty this far? From this posuk we learn. Now Tosfos is going to question what he treats as Rashi's source for this assumption. From this very din that you've got to wait 30 days for a pidyon haben, we learn that 30 days is a viability time. In other words, Tosfos, I'm not arguing on the fact that 30 days establishes viability. That is so. We learned that in Gemara Shabbos. What I'm arguing on, Tosfos, is that that's not the reason in pidyon haben for 30 days. It's coincidental. It happens to be the same time period. But it's coincidental. The one has got nothing to do with the other. 30 days is viability. True. 30 days is needed for pidyon haben. True. But it's needed for pidyon haben not because we need viability for pidyon haben. It's needed for pidyon haben as a gzeras hakosuv. I asked Tosfos, but where do we learn from that you need 30 days for viability? From the very halacha of the 30 days of the pidyon. Says Tosfos, that doesn't worry me so much, says Tosfos, because the same applies by the 8-day viability test for an animal. Where do we learn from that an 8 days constitutes viability for an animal? From the halacha that from the 8th day on an animal is fit for a korban. And what is the din in the case of an animal if we know for sure that the animal is viable? Is the animal fit for a korban before 8 days? No. Even if we know for sure that it's viable during the 8 days, before the 8th day is up, the animal is a mechusas man. The condition of time has not been fulfilled to allow him for a korban. The Gemara discusses that we start counting the time for an animal. One says from the time it's born, one from the time of Hatzor, which is 8 days. And the Gemara says it doesn't make any difference. It depends whether it was fit for a korban or it wasn't. If it was fit for a korban, then you start counting after 8 days. If it wasn't fit for a korban, you start counting from the time it was born. And we're talking there in a case where we know for sure that the animal is viable. And we see in the Gemara there that an animal is not fit for a korban until 8 days, even though we know it's viable. So you see that the 8 day waiting clause for korban is not dependent on viability. It has nothing to do with viability. And yet we learn the principle of 8 day viability from that very halacha. So says Tosfos, I have no difficulty saying the same thing about the 30-day viability with a human being. We learn the 30-day viability from Pidyon HaBein, but the reason for the 30 days at Pidyon HaBein has nothing to do with viability. Ask the Maharam, you remember, say, how do you learn it in that case if it has nothing to do with it? Answer the Maharam, because the Torah would not require a Pidyon HaBein before you know viability. So what we do know is that 30 days is viability. It might be earlier than 30 days. That we don't know. But one thing we know for sure is that by 30 days there is viability. Otherwise the Torah wouldn't have allowed a Pidyon HaBein. But the reason the Torah says wait for 30 days is not because of viability. That's how the Maharam learns it. So Tosfos has established that although it would appear on the surface that the 30-day principle of a Pidyon HaBein is a function of the viability test, in fact it's not so. The 30 days is a Gzeiras HaKosuf. Void. And a further kasha Tosfos now directs at Rashi. The Besoif HaKoimitz Rabo, at the end of Perek HaKoimitz Rabo in Menoches, Mechayev Gabi Bechor Shiyesh Loi Beis Roshim, the Gemara is Mechayev, the father of a bechor with two heads, litein lo yud sloim lekoyin, to give 10 sloim to the koyin. Uforich Allah, and the Gemara there poses the question: mi bechor shenitraf de potur, that a bechor shenitraf after all is potur. So why does the bechor with two heads have to pay 10 sloim? Ve'i nitraf haynu neherag, and if nitraf means neherag, as Rashi says it is, heichi medami lelahachi, what is the comparison? The fact is that this two-headed monster is alive, not dead. It's all very well if nitrof means trefo, but if nitrof means dead, this person is not dead. Va'oid, and furthermore, the lohavalele meim and nitrof elanerag, a very simple question. Rashi is always very particular about the straight meaning of the words. Rashi is normally particular about the meaning of the word. So why does the Gemara use the word nitraf and not neherag? If it means neherag, why confuse us? What's the purpose? What's the benefit of using a word nitraf when a more accurate word could be used? So we have so far how many kashas on Rashi? Three. The first kasha is the retrospective pidyon in Bechoris. The second kasha is the Gemara in Menoches. The third kasha is the Loshon, the wording of the Gemara. The Oid, the fourth kasha is the Asik Gemara Achilek. The Gemara comes to teach us that Ach teaches us that a nitraf is potu from a pidyon. And Rashi says nitraf means neherag. Hokivan sheneherag teich lamedyem ifeduivim in chodesh nafke. If the child was killed within 30 days, that's governed by peduivim in chodesh. He's not there at 30 days. So what do you need the achilek for? So that Rashi himself answers. That's the fourth question. Mufarish Rabbeinu Tam shenitraf haynu shenaseh treifa. Nitraf means he becomes a treifa. And now it's a very good comparison to the bechor with two heads, because a two-headed monster is one of the typical cases of treifa, as Tosfos says in Menachos, kol yesek kenotul dami, that having two heads is the same as having no heads. Just as having many chavrusas is the same as having no chavrusas, so the having two heads is the same as... Tosfos learns that the din of Rami Bar Chama is talking about a treifa, and Achille comes to teach us that there is no chiyuv pidyon for a treifa. So why is there a chiyuv pidyon for the two-headed monster, who is a treifa? Answers Tosfos, answers the Gemara the way we understand the Gemara according to Tosfos. So what's the Gemara's answer? Shani hacha de begulis talo rachmona, that this particular form of treifa is an exception when it comes to the laws of pidyon abein, because the laws of pidyon abein looks at the head only. And from the viewpoint of the heads, there are two heads, which means from the viewpoint of the heads, there are two babies. There are two bechoris. That's the way we look at it. So it's not an abnormality. From pidyon, two heads is not an abnormality because we're only looking at the heads. Two heads is only an abnormality if you open the blanket and see there's only one body underneath. But if you're only looking at the heads, two heads is not an abnormality. It's quite normal for two people to have two heads. And from the point of view of pidyon abein, we're not interested in how many people we are there. They are there. All we're interested in is in how many heads there are. And does each head belong to a bechor? So that's the first question we say to the father. If he comes to ask the shayla, how many heads? He says, two. We say, does each head belong to a bechor? Father says, yes. So then that's tinsler. That's how it is.
But it is a treifa.
Yes, but it is a treifa.
What about another treifa?
Not sure, that would be no good. One. So then we would say one head. And we would say,
got a heart defect.
Yeah, so we would say, is it the head of... The way we would have to look at it is... Yeah, we'd have to say one head, so the Bechor would say one head belonging to a Bechor. Is the Bechor viable? Is the Bechor a treifer? And he'll say, no, the Bechor is not a treifer. Why is the Bechor not... The Bechor is a treifer. We'll say, why is the Bechor a treifer? He's got two hearts. So in that case, this head is not... This Bechor is not a viable Bechor, and therefore there's no chiyuv pidyon. However, if the father comes along and says two heads, each head belongs to a Bechor, yes. But the father will say, but he's a treifer. We'll say, why is he a treifer? Because he's got two heads. So we'll say, from a pidyon point of view, two heads doesn't matter because we're only looking at heads. That's all we're interested in. It's true that the head of a Bechor with a defective heart is no good, because that defective heart is a treifer which affects all areas of treifer, including pidyon. But two heads is excluded from the dinim of pidyon because we view it as if it's two people. From the laws of pidyon, we view two heads like two people, and that's not abnormal. So when the father says, but this Bechor isn't going to live, we say, why isn't the Bechor going to live? Because he's got two heads. We say, but in the laws of pidyon, two heads is not an abnormality, because the head's all we're interested in. It's like specialization. If a brain surgeon who only looks at brains, as far as he's concerned, there are two heads here, there are two babies here.
But the brain, he'll also look at the one head, he won't look at the heart. One head.
Where it comes to that kind
of... also see one head.
But there's a halacha that if it's a treifa, it's no good. All we're saying here is the gzeiras hakosav is that as far as the heads are concerned, you've got to become... When the imperfection is in the number of heads, that from pidyon is not an imperfection. The number of heads. Because it's only the head which is paying. The baby won't live, but that's not a treifa. In other words, the essence of treifa is not that the baby will die within 12 months. The essence of treifa is that it's one of these particular diseases... A sign of one of the simonim of which is that it will die within 12 months. In this case, the disease of two heads is removed from the category of treif as far as pidyon is concerned by the gzeres hakosev of gugolis. That's how we learn in the Tosfos.
Why does Tosfos use now said treif? Make a treif. In other words, the zebra became a treif after.
Where does Tosfos use that? Shenitra pina shenai said treif. Because the case there is not talking about the two heads. That's Rabbi Bar Chama's case. And Rabbi Bar Chama's case is Bechor Shenitraf, which means just that, a Bechor who developed a disease which made him a treifa. Shenitraf, that's the literal translation of Nitraf, is he became a treifa. So?
In the Mashmah Tzatz, is he learning Zeresakosov on Nitraf or on Nera?
The Gzeres HaKosuv, that what? That there must be 30 days.
No, that the pasuk is kind
of, that 30 days is 30 days
in view of
the Gzeres HaKosuv.
Right. Nothing to do with
viability.
Right. Is he learning
that for Nitraf in the pasuk, or is he learning as he understands
Rashi in Nehrag? That's
nothing to do with either of them. It's just the halacha of 30 days is not viability dependent.
So how's
Tosfos
comes to
Nitraf
then, over there, and
Nehrag over there? So if the baby is Nehrag, the Gzeres HaKosuv is not fulfilled. There's no Shaila. Ach comes to teach us that even if the baby is Nitraf, there's no. Yes, yeah.
Where is for Rashi?
For Rashi, the Ach is going on Nehrag. That's how Tosfos learns. And what will Rashi hold by Nitraf? But he'll have a pidyon. So there's then a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos in Halacha, as to whether a Nitraf has a pidyon or not. That's how Tosfos learns. Now I want to go back to the Rashi and Menachos to relearn Rashi the way I suggested last week, which will answer Tosfos' kashas and to explain why Tosfos can't learn Rashi that way. To check if all four questions of Tosfos are answered. Raf says, Rashi, what does that mean? That means Ne'erag. B'tzirch Lamedin. Nami Chayef. I would have thought from Podei Tifteh that even Ne'erag is Chayef. Now, listen carefully and think carefully. The Torah teaches us that a bechor ufiduyev mi ben chodesh tifteh, that one has to perform a pidyon haben after 30 days. Podoy tifteh comes to teach me that there is a case, podoy tifteh on its own, without ach, comes to teach me that there is a case which I might have thought is not chayev a pidyon, but the truth is it is chayev a pidyon. There are two possibilities as to what that case is. Nitraf or Ne'erag. Which would you say it is? If we had no Rashi and no Tosfos, you were on a desert island and all you had was the Gemara.
Nitraf.
And what are you basing these on? Are these guesses or are these based on Svara?
Ne'erag is the last of the Ne'erag before 30 days. The Nitraf is more than 30 days, so it would that wouldn't be a problem.
Which is a bigger Chiddush?
Yeah.
Which is a bigger Chiddush? Yeah. That you chayev a pidyon for a Ne'erag or for a Nitraf?
Ne'erag.
So which is the bigger Chiddush?
Ne'erag.
So what must I use the podoy for? For Nitraf, for the smaller Chiddush. Isn't that so? How can I jump to the conclusion of Ne'erag when I haven't even learned the Chiddush of Nitra? I've got only one word extra. That means I can go one level further. Normally, I would say on day 30 you have to have a korb. You have to bring a pidyon. Comes to teach me podoy. Now there are two ways I can do it. Either I can say what Barry wants to say is that Nitra is poshut. There's no havamina that Nitraf is not included in Ufiduyev Mibin Chodesh Tifteh, because he's there at 30 days. So then the Chiddush of Podoy must be the next one up, which is Ne'erag. Or we're going to say, no, Nitraf is also not Poshut. And therefore I've got to use Podoy Tifteh, to teach me that even a Nitraf is Chayev. Okay, that's the way Tosfos learns, that even a Nitraf is Chayev. Tosfos learns in Rashi, no, Nitraf I know is Chayef. What it comes to teach me is that even a Ne'erag is, I would have thought that even a Ne'erag is Chayef without Ach. Comes Ach then and takes us back down to teach me, no, that you thought that you could include Nehrag, you can't. There is no Chiyuv Pidyon for Nehrag, and we stay where we were with Nitraf and an ordinary baby. Or according to Tosfos, this which you wanted to be Mechayev a Nitraf, you cannot be Mechayev a Nitraf. A Nitraf is Potter for Pidyon. That's what Achbut came to teach me. Those are the two ways of learning. We're going to now create a third way of learning. And that is that there is no difference between Nehrag and Nitraf. That they are halakhically the same concept. And that's what I explained to you last week with this difference between killing and dying. That a person can be killed, but if a person is shot through the heart, and he drags himself for a few yards, and he drags himself to a neighbor, and they manage to call the ambulance, but by the time the ambulance comes, he's dead. What do they say? He died or he was killed? They say he was killed. He wasn't. After he was shot, he was still alive, but he was still killed. And if a person is shot and he lives for 6 months, and then he dies from his wounds, and they battle to keep him, and they do surgery, and they do this, and they do that, and on and on and on and on. Eventually they can't. He dies from his wounds. What do they say? He was killed or he died? They still say he was killed. They still say that man was killed. They always refer to him as having been killed. So killing and dying don't have to be simultaneous. Killing is an action which is inevitably going to cause the death, sooner or later. And therefore, the principle of Nitraf, we said, was that the killing had taken place already. And that's why an animal which is shechted and found to be a trefer cannot be eaten. Why not? Why can an animal not be eaten? Not because the animal was dead already. The animal wasn't dead already. The animal cannot be eaten because it was killed already. It's not your knife that killed the animal. The animal was killed by a disease. It's true it hadn't yet died. Your knife maybe terminated its life. It hadn't yet died. Had you left it, it would have carried on. But it was killed by that. Again, for example, if a person goes in for surgery, for routine surgery, and the surgeon is careless and he dies, what do we say? The surgeon killed him. If a person was shot in the heart, and he goes in for surgery, and the surgeon was careless and he dies, what do we say? He was killed by the murderer. We don't say the surgeon killed him. That's exactly how we operate, and that's the halacha. That if the person has been killed already, what Trefe analyzes is whether the person or the animal has been killed already, not whether he's dead or alive. A person can, retrospectively, you can have a situation where a person was killed but he's still alive. That's the concept of Trefe. And therefore, Podei Tifteh includes Trefe and Nehrag together because there is no difference between them. The principle is you cannot do Pidyon on somebody who's been killed, even if he's still lingering on. You don't do Pidyon on somebody who's been killed. And that's why it doesn't help us to say if a Baskel would come along and say, a heavenly voice would come along and say, this baby is going to die within 6 months. And we send the baby back to the pediatricians to have the baby tested. The pediatricians say, nonsense, go and see a psychiatrist. And we say, this is a Baskel. Everybody was there. Rav Shach was there and he also heard it. We say that the pediatrician will say that Rav Shach should also see a pediatrician, should also see a psychiatrist. There's absolutely nothing wrong. This baby is in perfect health. But we know that the baby is going to die. Is the baby a trefer? No. Because the baby hasn't been killed. The baby hasn't been killed. The fact that by Nevuah we know it's going to die. Going to die does not mean it's been killed. And that's why you can have a person who's dying and is going to die within an hour. And if the doctor euthanizes him, that's murder. I is going to die, but he's going to die because he's dying, not because he was killed. Do you follow the difference? There's a difference between a person who's busy dying and a person who was killed. And he's busy dying.
And so we say a person has been killed if somebody shot him in the heart, or alternatively if he got...
contracted one of the traitors.
Right, he got a hole in his lungs.
Contracted one of the traitors. That also, he's been killed by disease. He's still lingering on. And Achanami is still lingering on, but he's been killed by the disease already. And therefore, you can only kill a person once. You can't kill a person twice. So if he's been killed already, then the next person who kills him is not a murderer. See, certainly, it's also, there's no question about that, but he's not a murderer. Because you can only kill a person once. Otherwise, nobody would be a murderer. Otherwise, we would say, since everybody's going to die, everybody's been killed by the Ribbono Shel Olam at birth, and murder would be
mutter.
Can I just ask, how do we learn from animal traits onto human? Because at the end, for example, I believe if a leg is broken, then that it was
not broken. No, no.
That was how chicken is traced with the legs broken.
That's for other reasons. No. That's for other reasons, because it could have pierced the lung. Because the fractured bone could pierce the lung when it moves.
So all those like potentially fatal.
Yeah, central organs. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
So now, with that principle, let's understand the Rashi. Shomei ani afilu nitra, ne'erag b'toich lamed yoyim nami chayev. I learn from this. So Rashi teaches us the bigger chiddush now, that not only from Podetivde, not only would I say that Nitraf is included, but I would say that even Neirag is included. Because the principle of Neirag and Nitraf is the same. Why would I have thought that Nitraf is not Chayef Pidyon Abayin, that I need Podet to teach me that he is? Because Nitraf has been killed already. If that's the principle, then even a Neirag, I should think, would be Chayef with the Pidyon Abayin. Right? You'll say, but it says, but here I would say that if it weren't for the killing, the reason that I would say that he's chayev here is because the fact that he's been killed is not a disturbance of his natural viability. Because Rashi now has a difficulty. Bishlomon Nitraf. I understand the Havamina that Nitraf is chayev b'pidyon because he's there. But how would I even think that Neirag is included in that ribui? Explains Rashi, because even a Neirag, in theory, would have been there. The fact that he died doesn't matter, because Neirag doesn't necessarily mean that he won't be there at 30 days. In other words, I'm explaining also why Rashi comes on. This is a very difficult Rashi altogether. The fact to say that because he's killed, okay, but that doesn't disturb his viability. But Lamaisa is not there at 30 days, which is one of Tosfos' kashyas. Lamaisa is not there at 30 days. So he's saying that's coincidental that he's not there 30 days. It's not even because he was killed. There are plenty of people who are killed and they are there 30 days later. So it happened in this case that he died earlier. But the killing is not, I might have thought the killing does not interfere with the Xeris HaKosov that at 30 days you must perform a pidyon. The act of killing does not interfere with that. Dying does, but not killing. And dying from being killed also doesn't. And that's the principle of Nitraf. That's how we want to learn this Rashi. Once we link Nitraf and Neirag together, then this Rashi begins to make more sense. In other words, Ufduyiv mi ben chedish v'malo teaches me only a healthy baby, a viable baby. Without Podei Tifde, I would have excluded Nitraf and Neirag. No pidyon for either of them. Comes Podei Tifde to teach me that even for Neirag there's a chiyuv pidyon, and certainly for Nitraf there's a chiyuv pidyon. Comes Ach to teach me, no, there isn't a chiyuv pidyon, not for Neirag and not for Nitraf, because they're always linked together. Let's just go further in the Rashi. Ach chilek ach podei tifteh. Now comes the major kashi in the Loshon of Rashi. V'hai nami kenitraf dami. And this two-headed monster is also like a Nitraf. Now why does Rashi persist in the confusion? Why does Rashi say v'hai nami kenitraf dami? Why doesn't he say v'hai nami kenirag dami? If that's what he means. Tosfos' question is bad enough. Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara use the word Nitra? Good, fine, okay, for one reason or another. But why does Rashi go and persist in it? If Rashi means Neirag, why say Nitra? So we said last week that Rashi says Nitra because he means Nitra. There's not Hayinami Kenerag Dami. This baby is not like Neirag. This baby is like Nitra. This baby has a disease from which he's going to die, and therefore he is like having been killed, but in the sense of a nitraf, not in the sense of a proper harigo. That's exactly what it is. And Rashi can switch from the one to the other because there's no difference between the two. So the high nami Rashi is not suggesting, as Tosfos thought, and therefore had the difficulty in Rashi. Rashi is not suggesting the high nami kenerag dami, and this two-headed monster is like a nerag. How can Rashi say that? He's not a nerag. He's there on day 30, whereas a nerag is not there on day 30. Says Rashi, no, high nami kenitraf dami. This is like a trefer. Because he won't live 12 months. Why only like a trefer? He is a trefer. Why does Rashi say like a trefer? Because Begogol is Talya Rachmana. He knows that this isn't the proper trefer for Pidyon HaBein. But it's like a trefer. The fact is he won't live. That we know. He's like a treifa. From our point, ideologically, conceptually, he's like a treifa, even if halachically he isn't. Answers the Gemara, Begulgulis, Tala Rachman, Lipigin, Bechodichtim, Chamishkonim, Begulgulis, Vahai Islay Trey, and this one has two heads, and that's why he gets 10 sloim. Ve'im Vishum Achilek, we've just said this is like a treifa. So why doesn't Ach exclude him from Pidyon altogether? Answers Rashi, Hashto mi Elohimis. The fact is, now he's alive. The principle of treifa by Pidyon HaBein is not whether he's going to die in 12 months' time or not. The principle is, what is he on day 30? Now on day 30, a person with two hearts is like killed. Right? He's like a Neherak. The killing has taken place already. But the Gulgulis Tali Rachmana teaches me that we do not regard one as with two heads as if he's killed. We regard him as like the Baskel case. We know he's going to die. But we know he's going to die not from an abnormality, because this not from an act of killing. Because this act, as far as Pidyon HaBein is concerned, is not called killing. This is excluded from the treifas of Pidyon HaBein purposes. In other words, Rashi and treifas come out identical. There is no halachic difference between Rashi and Tosfos. We'll discuss what the difference is between Rashi and Tosfos, but it's not a halachic difference. And therefore all four questions of Tosfos are answered. Let's go through the four questions of Tosfos. Question number one. What about the retrospective case? Let's see if we can answer that. So the father gives on day 10, the father gives 10 sloim to 5 sloim to the Kohen. He says, I want this to take effect on day 30. Day 30 comes around, money's gone, no pidyon. Ask Tosfos, but it should work retrospectively. We now know that there's viability. So we're saying that Rashi agrees that the 30 days is not a viability test. But the 30 days is Gzeres HaKosuv. The 30 days is Gzeres HaKosuv. Where the test is wanted to be medayik from, but it's a viability test, because Rashi says from the Fuduyev Ben Chodesh Tifte, Aval Hashto Itzrich Lashmo Inan Deloy Amrinan Iloy Iktil Havachai Veloy Nefel Havelifrekei. Says Rashi, I need to be taught from Ach Chilek that if a baby has been killed, but I don't say that he could have lived, and therefore I don't say that he would have been able to live, and therefore there should be a chiyuv pidyon even though he was killed. From that, Tosfos wants to work out that the implication is, but if I did know for sure that he would have been viable, then there would have been a chiyuv pidyon. So we're saying, no, that's not what Rashi means at all. This question of Tosfos, we can't really, is not necessary. In other words, Tosfos has left us an opening from the Mashma Ktzas that there are two ways of interpreting Rashi. We're interpreting Rashi the other way. There's no hechrich to interpret Rashi the way Tosfos wants to interpret him. The way we're learning, the way Tosfos is learning, there is a hechrich. Tosfos learns that once 30 days is a gzeres hakosuv, there is no hava mina that a baby killed within the 30 days will be chayav pidyon. Do you follow that? If we learn it as a gzeres hakosuv, then there's no question, and you can't talk about, I might have thought that Neirag is chayav too. Why would I have thought such a thing? But if you say, and from the fact that Rashi is willing to say, to contemplate such a Havimina, you see that Rashi is not learning it as Gzeres HaKosuv. So we're not saying that. No, we're saying that Rashi also learns it as Gzeres HaKosuv. And the reason that I could have contemplated such a Chiyuv is just from the word Poditivte. But okay, this first question of Tosfos is not straightforward.
Also, Tosfos, when he brings this justification from Gemara Shabbos, that you can learn two Chidushim from one Posuk, he brings it as a defense on himself. He doesn't bring it vis-a-vis Rashi.
Yes, okay, so there we have no problem. Well, he could be. We can still say the same thing, but in Rashi as well, we'll say it's also Gzeres HaKosuv, because the way we're learning also in Rashi is that 30 days is not viability. Exactly the same as Tosfos. 30 days is Gzeres HaKosuv. The only thing is, the only thing we're saying is with Rashi that I'm just trying to think this through carefully. Are we saying according to Rashi that it's Gzeres HaKosuv? What we're saying for sure is that according to Rashi, even Treifa is Potter. Why is Treifa Potter? Because of Achilek. And why is it, what is the reasoning behind that Ptur? Because a Harigo has taken place. The baby is killed. Even though it's there on day 30, the baby has been killed. And there's no pidyon on a baby that has been killed. We haven't dealt with the question of whether it's Gzeres HaKosuv or not. The second question of Rashi from Menachos, that we've dealt with. Because now the comparison between the two-headed monster and Rashi and the case of Rami Bar Chama is the same, because Nitraf and Neirag is linked. So it's true, one is Nitraf and one is Neirag, but it doesn't make any difference, because Nitraf and Neirag are linked. The next question, the third question, why does the Gemara use the word Nitraf rather than Neirag? Why does Rami Bar Chama use the word Nitraf? B'choshi Nitraf. How does it go? What's the Loshin? B'choshi Nitraf, b'teich lamed yoim, ein peri meise. B'chein tani Rami Bar Chama. B'mitoch shneim ha-poditif to yochel afilu Nitraf, b'teich lamed, I might have thought even Nitraf asked Tosfos, why doesn't it say Neirag? So what's our answer for that? Why does the Gemara use the word Nitraf? I would have thought even a Treifa has to have a pidyon. So there we can say that the answer is because there's a bigger chiddush to teach us that even a Treifa is Potter. The conclusion of Rami Bar Chama, there's a bigger chiddush in Nitraf. That not only is Neirag Potter, but even Nitraf is Potter. The way Tosfos understood Rashi, you can't answer that. Because of the way Tosfos understood Rashi, Nitraf is Chayev. Only Neirag is Potter. So ask Tosfos, why not say Neirag then? Why use a word which is misleading? But according to us, the word isn't misleading. Halakhically, it's correct that even a Bechoshe Nitraf doesn't have a pidyon. And which is the bigger chiddush to tell us that not only does a Neirag not have a pidyon, but even a Nitraf doesn't have a pidyon. So it's right, Nitraf is the correct word to use, not Neirag. Void asik mora achilek hakivan shenerag teich lamed yem iftuv b'milchedish nafka. What do I need achilek for? If the baby's been killed, why do I need ach? I need ach to extend that into Nitraf. And Rashi also explains that I might have thought from the fiduyav b'milchedish v'malo, I think we have to stay with the fact that Rashi holds that 30 days is viability. I think we have to stay with that. 30 days is viability, ein achinami. But I would have thought that a killing doesn't interfere with that viability test. 30 days means if the baby dies from natural causes within 30 days, there's no chiyuv pidyon, because the baby wasn't viable. But if the baby didn't die from natural causes within 30 days, there is a chiyuv pidyon. That's what I would have thought. Comes Achilek to teach me that even in the case where the baby was killed, there isn't a chiyuv pidyon. Why? Because we don't know that it's reached the viability. You wouldn't know?
I don't know why we see just now that there's not a lack of difference between Rashi and Tosfos.
Why? Where is the lack of difference?
In the three heads. No, because with Rashi would say that if a baby is a nitra, there's still a chiyuv pidyon on that head.
No. Nitra is the same as Neirag.
You said that Ach over there would come to
teach you that in Nitraf and Neirag, which are linked together, I might have thought from positive there that there is a Chiyuv, comes Ach to teach me that there isn't a Chiyuv in either case, because the two are linked. So the Chiddush in Rashi is the linkage between Nitraf and Neirag. In both Tosfos and the way Tosfos learned Rashi, there wasn't that linkage. So Tosfos focused on Nitraf, and Rashi focused on Neirag. What we're saying in Rashi is that the two are linked.
I'm sorry, that's our third way of learning it. If you learn it Tosfos' way, there is a lucky difference.
Yes, sure. That's why Tosfos is cholek.
I'll say Potter, get all
the way Tosfos learns Rashi, there's a chiluk, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's a word, according to Rashi, it works beautifully. Why is a trefa then, why is there no chiyuv pigeon? It became a trefa before day 30. The fact is that today by day 30, is the baby viable or not? The baby became a trefa before day 30. Is that called a viable baby or isn't it?
It's not.
No, it's not. It's not viable because it's been killed already.
Or is that an exception in the case of the
two-headed monster? Yeah. But normally what Rashi would say is that the baby has failed the viability test. It's alive after 30 days, and we said any baby that survives 30 days is okay, but this baby hasn't survived 30 days. It was killed within 30 days. It's lingering on, but that's not called surviving 30 days. So the way I would come out is that on Tosfos' first day, we would go along with that. But Rashi holds that it's a viability test, and Tosfos holds it's not. However, in the other areas where Tosfos learns in Rashi that the whole chiddush is on Ne'erag and not on Nitraf, that we're not going along with.
Sorry, I want the hashka to Rashi, the hashka in the Nachos according to Rashi is that we only exclude the two Roshim case from a normal Nitraf case.
That's not called for Pidyon HaBeit. That's not called killing. That baby has not been killed. That's not an indication of having been killed. Yeah, that's not a trefa as far as the laws of Pidyon HaBeit are concerned.
Because of Gzeiras
HaKosov v'Gedolos. Yeah. And Tosfos comes and gives his. Now, why can Tosfos not learn like we do? If we're so clever, why can't Tosfos learn like Rashi? It's like we're learning in Rashi. Are we cleverer than Tosfos? Why does Tosfos attack Rashi if there's a way of understanding Rashi? So that I explained is because Tosfos is not prepared to accept that the principle of Nitraf is this killing and dying is separate. He holds that's a Gzeiras HaKosov also.
Where do we see that again in Tosfos?
We don't.
Last time we learned, we saw it in the part of Tosfos at the Rabbeinu Tam.
No. All we're seeing it in is the fact that Tosfos doesn't understand Rashi the way we have. What our whole understanding on Rashi is based on a Chiddush. The Chiddush is our conceptual understanding of the principle of Trefa. The Trefa is built on this, on the separation between killing and dying. Tosfos says that's nonsense.
But how do we see that in Tosfos?
You don't see it in Tosfos, just by the fact that he doesn't learn Rashi that way.
So
Tosfos holds Trefa is a Gzeiras HaKosov. If Trefa is a Gzeiras HaKosov, the whole thing in Rashi doesn't start.
Why should Tosfos limit Rashi to his own axioms?
That you always find. Tosfos will not. Tosfos, there's an assumption in each Rishon, and that is the difficulty of learning a Rishon, is that you need to know the assumptions of that Rishon. That's why you need Achronim very often. The Achron's job is to develop and understand principles which the Rishon is taking for granted. So the Rishon is not going to try and tell you. It's not, his business is not to explain Rashi. Each Rishon has his own Yesodis, and he'll explain the Gemara according to those Yesodis. And another Rishon that doesn't fit into those Yesodis, who on the basis of those Yesodis you can't explain the Rashi, he'll point out the difficulty in explaining the Gemara Rashi's way. What he's basically saying is, I can't explain the Gemara Rashi's way, because these are the difficulties I would have. So why doesn't Rashi have those difficulties? Because he has a different Shita. It's not my business to explain Rashi's Shita. It's holds Tosfos. Just as it's not my business to explain the way every contemporary Rosh Yeshiva learns the Gemara, you can say, but the Reb so-and-so from such and such a Yeshiva said differently. I have no chiyuv to go through every shir that has ever been said on this sugi of Gemara up until this morning and find out how every Rosh Yeshiva and every Magid shir learned the Gemara. That's not my chiyuv. Likewise, it's not Tosfos' chiyuv to work. It's our chiyuv to work out how Rashi learned. It's not Tosfos' chiyuv. Tosfos simply has to say, based on my Yesodis and Trefis, I can't explain the Gemara Rashi's way, because if I do, these are the difficulties I hit. Finished. You want to know how Rashi learnt it, so you go and figure out how Rashi learnt it. That's not my job, says Tosfos. That's how one has to learn a Rishon. It's to understand the Yesodis that make it impossible for him to learn it any other way. And that's how we extract Yesodis from Rishonim. So here, without either Rashi or Tosfos saying anything, we have extracted a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in the understanding of the principle of treifus. Rashi understands it with a Rav Shimon kind of a thing, with a conceptual svara, and Tosfos holds it's a gzeiras hakosuv.
The base Yosef learning Surah Sefer, for instance, wouldn't have been with that same shit. It would be according to your. It's a perish, as opposed to with my axioms.
Yes, but even there you can find that you can find chilukim. Even there you can find chilukim. But yes, there it's a perish. It's the and very often the Rosh on the Rif is like that. But even in perushim you'll find it sometimes. There are certain assumptions, and the assumptions are never stated, or seldom stated. The Achronim will develop the assumptions, as we've just done here in this Machlokes. The Achronim will take a Rishon and extract a Yesod in the Rishon which is not stated, but without which you cannot understand the Rishon. That's the role of the Achron. Just as the Rishon extracts principles which the Gemara takes for granted, teaches us Yesodis which the Gemara doesn't enunciate, but without which you cannot understand the Gemara. So an Achron will extract principles without which you cannot understand a Rishon. And when we're learning to Rishonim, we have to be able to penetrate to the Machlokes and understand on what Yesod is that Machlokes built, which makes it impossible for either one to learn the other way's route. That's what one needs to do in learning a Rishon. So here, without it being stated, what we've done is we've developed a difference in approach between Rashi and Tosfos in the understanding of the way the Torah functions with the Hilchos Treifos. And now what we should do is go and learn all the Hilchos Treifos, go through your Yoredeya with Chulim, and we'll probably be able to answer a lot of difficult Rashis and Tosfos in Chulim. Or the alternative is to remember it or to write it down somewhere, so that when one day we learn Chulim with Treifos, that we remember this Yusoid and this Machlekes, and with it we'll be able to undoubtedly answer a lot of difficulties in the in Chulin.
Because there wasn't an Achor poet in the Torah that could turn out the same.
Well, so how would it turn out if there was neither Achmoy nor Podoy? If there was neither Achmoy Podoy, then let's learn both ways quickly. If we learned the first way, we learned Rashi, the way Tosfos learns Rashi, then he says, without anything, I would have included Trefa as being normal, right? Podi comes to include Neirag, and Ach comes to exclude Neirag. So it would be the same. And according to the way we're now learning, I would have thought from nothing, if there was nothing there, I would have thought only a normal baby, but Neirag and Nitrifa, there would be no pigeon. Comes Podi Tifti to tell me that there is, comes Ach to tell me that there isn't. Yeah. So why the Torah puts in Podi Tifti? That's different. There must be some other limud. Now you learn that that's not the limud. There must be some other thing that you learn out of positivity. I don't know what it is.
Could it be to go through
this? It could be. Is there anybody who worked on the Gemara who doesn't now understand it clearly? Is he still not clear with it, someone? Okay.